Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Community. June to-do list includes planning for next year. I always feel like June is the last month before the blazing temperatures hit West Texas, so I try to get a list of things caught up that month. Here are a few planting and maintenance tips to get your yard and garden through the hot summer months. Before you even get outside, remember your hat, sunscreen, and dress appropriately. For more information, see westtexasgardening.org/post/gardener-safety. The early morning is a great time to walk your yard and garden, plan for your morning's work, and check for unwanted insect pests. Plant. There is still time to plant ornamental plants such as cosmos, sunflowers, zinnias, Mexican sunflowers, and salvia, along with clumping ornamental grasses like Lindheimer's mully or Gulf Coast mully. Your favorite herbs can be planted or succession planted. Basil, thyme, catnip, lemongrass, and lemon verbena are a few that will thrive in the summer. If you already have these herbs, keep them trimmed to encourage new growth. If you have a vegetable garden, okra, black-eyed peas, sweet potatoes, both summer and winter squash, can be re-sowed or seeded now. For more information on your home garden, see http://aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu/travis/home-land/landscape/edible-gardens/growing-vegetables/. Watch for white flies and aphids on your veggies. If you get an infestation, the easy way to control the pests is with a hard blast of water from the hose. Spray the top and bottom of all the plant's leaves. Always remove damaged leaves and put them in the trash, not your compost pile. Maintain. Get your bulbs ready for next year. Your bulbs probably still have some growth on them. This is the time to divide or remove them while there is still a part of the plant that is visible. Be sure to pay attention to your container gardens. Some plants may need to be moved to larger pots or just trimmed and cleaned up a bit. Add a light layer of mulch to conserve needed water in the heat we all know is coming. Deadhead your flowering plants to encourage new blooms. Some of your flowers may be fall bloomers like fall asters. Now is the time to cut them back. To be sure they are at their best in the fall months. If you still have a lawn and haven't replaced it with native plants, your lawnmower setting should be on high. Leaving the grass longer helps to keep the roots cooler. Mowing will keep weeds from seeding out, making a bigger problem in months and years to come. Water all trees deeply. Check your soil moisture. If the soil feels dusty dry, it is time to water. Remember to water at the drip line, the perimeter of the tree canopy. Weed, weed, and weed again. Get them while they are small. Weeding is more work if the weeds are out of control. Plan. Now is the time to plan for next year. On your walkthrough, do you see a plant that you want more of? Is there a plant that is not happy where you placed it? Are there areas of your garden that are becoming shadier over time? Jot down your ideas in your garden journal so you don't forget. If you don't have a journal just for your garden, now is the time to get one. And finally, don't forget to enjoy your garden or yard. Being out in nature, and that includes gardens, makes you happier and healthier. So get outside and enjoy the beauty of what you have created. Life Tributes. John David McFadden. 7/30/1935 to 5/16/2024. John David McFadden of Grapevine passed away peacefully on the night of May 16, 2024 in Grapevine, Texas. He was born on July 30, 1935 in Youngstown, Ohio, the second of three children of John William Bill McFadden and Emma Alice Agnes Peggy Rex McFadden. He was preceded in death by his parents, sisters Barbara and Mary Lou, and wife of 62 years, Sherry Lee Ann, in 2022, never fully recovering from this loss. He is survived by his three children and their spouses, Terry McFadden, Amy Ruth McFadden, and David Glenn and Sarah McFadden. Also surviving him are his 7 grandchildren, Haley, William, Joseph, Margaret, Hannah, Mary, and Claire McFadden. He is also survived by his niece, Lou Beth Williams, and nephew, James Maxwell. Services will be 11 o'clock a.m. Saturday, June 1st at the Grapevine Botanical Gardens in the Bessie Mitchell House, 411 Ball Street in Grapevine, Texas, and Sunday, June 2nd at 2 p.m., Golf Course Road Church of Christ in the Gathering Space in Midland, Texas. Alberto Garcia. Alberto Garcia, 66, of Midland, passed away Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024. The viewing will be held from 5 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, May 28th, 2024, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Alberto was born March 23, 1958, to Lazara Aguilar and Natividad Garcia. He owned Albert's Wrecking. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Nina K. Green, 10/21/1935 to 5/13/2024. Our family is deeply saddened to share the news of the passing of Nina K. Porter Green, who passed away peacefully May 13, 2024. She leaves behind her children, Cheryl Barton and husband James, and Stuart E. Green of Midland. Grandchildren Scott Green and wife Lacey, Aaron Green, Christina Bertanis and husband Kyle, Alicia Jimenez and husband Isaac, and Elena Baca and husband Trent. Great-grandchildren Aiden Green, Giada and Isla Bertanis, and Mia and Lexi Baca. Nina was preceded in death by her parents, Thurman and Thelma Porter of Lubbock, and her son, James Kenneth Green Jr. of Dallas. A memorial service will be held in the near future in Lubbock, and her family and her friends and family, and the date and location will be announced soon. Mary Catherine Morris Boyd, 6/27/1945 to 5/17/2024. Mary Catherine Morris Boyd, 78, passed away peacefully in her home in Midland, Texas, on May 17, 2024. Mary Kay was born on June 27, 1945, in Bakersfield, California, to William Harvey and Catherine Cowden Boyd. She is preceded in death by her mother and father, her brother Kenneth Boyd, Uncle Kenny, and her son Joey. She is survived by her daughter Carrie Morris Drone and husband Damon, brother William Boyd and wife Ellen, grandchildren Jordan Johnson and Katie Sullivan and husband Corey. She was Gigi to great-grandchildren Kaylee and Cody Sullivan and had many nieces, nephews, cousins, and great friends. She leaves the legacy of her love for Jesus and everyone she knew. Memorial service will be held at Stonegate Fellowship Church, Building C, on Tuesday, May 28th at 2 o'clock p.m. Other services provided by Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. Margaret Susan Ridgway Wilson, 8/30/1948 to 5/4/2024. Margaret Susan Ridgway Wilson of Cypress, Texas, passed away peacefully on May 4, 2024, surrounded by her family. Susan is survived by her mother, Maggie Ridgway, brother and sister-in-law, Tom Ridgway Jr., and Janet Ridgway. Her children, Lori Skull, Mary Margaret Kahn, and William Wilson. Sons-in-law, David Skull and Riaz Kahn. Daughter-in-law, Romy Adam Wilson. Grandchildren William Skull, Benjamin Skull, and Selena Wilson, and nieces Kate Ridgway, Victoria Ridgway, and Madeline Ridgway. Born August 30, 1948, to Maggie and Tom Ridgway in West Springfield, MA, Susan and her family moved to San Angelo, Texas in 1950, where she grew up and attended Trinity Lutheran Elementary School, Washington and Edison Junior High Schools, and San Angelo Central High School. A memorial will be held in the summer, and family and friends will be notified. Frank Davis. Frank Davis, 80, of Midland, passed away May 24th, 2024. Services are pending with Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, May 25th, 2024. Religion. Concept of truth is examined. Reverends Bristow and Coleman say Bible offers clarity, by Bob Campbell. What is truth? The Roman governor Pontius Pilate asked Jesus that question in John 18:38, after Jesus said he had come into the world to testify to the truth, and that everyone on the side of truth listened to him. The existence or non-existence of truth is often debated, but the Reverends William Mark Bristow and Landon Coleman say it is an issue of perfect clarity. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," said the Reverend Bristow, pastor of Parker Heights Christian Church in Odessa and Grace Fellowship in Monahans. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, so he is the embodiment of truth. That takes all the guesswork out of it. Like Pilate, Bristow said, anyone can have an opinion about what is true or not, but that doesn't mean it's so, he said. Pilate saying, what's true for you is not true for me, and vice versa. It goes way back, but you can't find absolute truth outside the Word of God. People can say this, that, or the other. It still comes back to what you see in the text. The Reverend Coleman, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, said the first chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Rome is highly instructive. Paul's fundamental claim in Romans 1 is that the Creator God has revealed the truth of his existence and his character in the created order, Coleman said. Everything from the predictability of chemical reactions to the function of living cells to the vastness of the universe and even to the consistency of math points to the truth that there is a God who designed and created the universe. Can human beings know objective, unchanging, absolute truth? Of course. We can know truth from God's self-revelation in Scripture, but we can also know truth from God's self-revelation in creation. He said there can be definitive knowledge about such things as whether or not a person has cancer, the balance of a bank account, which team scored more points in a football game, the measure of pi, the speed of light, and the gravitational constant. Of course, many of the educated elite assure that we cannot know absolute truth about anything, he said. The proponents of intersectionality tell us that we can only know the limited truth of our tribe or group. The postmodern theorists insist that the only truth to be embraced is the truth that there is no absolute truth. It's all a bunch of gobbledygook that reveals the futile thinking and darkened hearts of those who have willingly and defiantly suppressed the truth about God that is plain to them. Romans 1:21. Coleman said, contemporary Americans live in an anti-truth age, but the question is not new. Paul's fundamental claim in Romans 1:19 and 20 is that God has revealed the truth about himself in the created order, he said. But Paul's initial claim in Romans 1:18 is that apart from God's intervening grace, all people reject and suppress the truth about God. His conclusion is twofold. One, God's wrath is even now being revealed from heaven against those who suppress the truth that God has revealed. Romans 1:18. And 2, human beings are without excuse. Romans 1:20. Coleman said that what follows in Romans 1:24-32 is a description of moral, relational, social, and cultural chaos. This chaos is both the result of God's wrath, which is being poured out, and the cause of God's wrath, which will be poured out in the final judgment, he said. In 21st century America, we find ourselves living in a culture that is remarkably similar to the one Paul describes. Rather than simply recognize our folly and error, we plunge on into the darkness. Rather than recognize that there is an inescapable moral structure to life on earth, we prefer to do everything in our power to mitigate and remove the consequences of our folly. Currently, the vast majority of our cultural energy is spent on removing the consequences of sin so that we can press on in stubborn, stiff-necked rebellion against God. As a people, we would be well served by a return to sanity, a return to truth, and a return to God. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. Asa, King of Judah. 1 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles 14. Asa became king of Judah following the death of his father Abijah. Although King Abijah had God's help in battle against Jeroboam, king of Israel, his heart was not devoted to the Lord, and he did evil as his father had done. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, removing the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord and to obey his laws and commands. Asa built up these towns of Judah, putting walls around them with towers, gates, and bars. He proclaimed that the land was theirs because they had sought the Lord. Asa commanded a well-equipped army of 300,000 men from Judah and 280,000 from Benjamin. All were brave fighting men. Zerah the Cushite marched out against Judah with a vast army and 300 chariots and came as far as Marisha. Asa called to the Lord asking for his help. The Lord struck down the Cushites. The Cushites fled, and Asa and his army pursued them. Such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. The men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder and destroyed all the villages around Gerar, for the terror of the Lord had fallen upon them. They plundered the villages, since there was much booty there, and they attacked the camps of the herdsmen and carried off droves of sheep and goats and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem.
Phillips 66 acquires Pinnacle Pipeline System. Much like consolidation has hit the upstream sector of the oil and gas industry, consolidation is arriving in the midstream sector. Shortly after Kinetic Holdings announced an agreement to acquire the Permian Basin assets of Durango Midstream, Phillips 66 announced plans to acquire Pinnacle Midland Parent LLC from Energy Spectrum Capital for $550 million. The move is designed by Phillips 66 to expand its natural gas gathering and processing footprint in the Midland Basin. Quote, in 2023, Phillips 66 completed its acquisition of DCP Midstream, which included a large gas gathering and processing system in the Permian Basin, end quote, the company told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, Phillips 66 views the Permian Basin as a strategic growth area for the company's midstream business, and we expect natural gas production volumes to steadily increase in the region. The Pinnacle Midstream acquisition complements our existing assets in the Permian and provides a platform for us to continue to advance our natural gas liquids wellhead to market strategy, end quote. The company added that it plans to retain the employees who operate the Dos Picos gas gathering and processing system that was included in the acquisition. Quote, we are growing our midstream business in the Permian to further strengthen and expand our service offerings to customers while driving operational and commercial synergies, end quote, said Mark Lashier, chairman and chief executive officer of Phillips 66, in announcing the agreement. Quote, Pinnacle is a bolt-on asset that advances our wellhead-to-market strategy and complements our diversified and integrated asset portfolio. Further, this transaction aligns with our long-term objectives to build out our natural gas liquids value chain, be disciplined with our capital allocation, and create sustainable value for our shareholders, end quote. Pinnacle's assets include the recently built Dos Picos Natural Gas Gathering and Processing System, which consists of a 220 million cubic feet per day gas processing plant, 80 miles of gathering pipeline, and 50,000 dedicated acres through high-quality producers in one of Phillips 66 focus basins. The Dos Picos processing complex and related infrastructure is easily scalable toward a second 220 MMCF per day gas plant and integrates well into Phillips 66 existing downstream infrastructure, the company added. In that same statement, J. Greg Sargent, Pinnacle CEO, commented, quote, Pinnacle has established itself as one of the premier midstream providers in the Midland Basin. With a top-notch talented team, first-class operations and infrastructure, and world-class customers, I am incredibly proud of what we have achieved as a team in the basin and in the community, end quote. The transaction is expected to close around mid-year.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, May 28th. Two local students heading to National B. Two local students are heading to the 96 Scribbs National Spelling Bee set for May 28th through 30th in National Harbor, Maryland. Odessa's Janard Kire, 11, and Shrivya Sivakumar, 13, have been preparing hard for the event. Kire will be attending STEM Academy next fall, and Sivakumar attends Young Women's Leadership Academy. Kire said going to Washington will be a good experience. He has not been there before. Kire is looking forward to meeting the spellers, pronouncer Jox Bailey, and also seeing the Lincoln Memorial. He said he has been studying 1 to 2 hours a day, reading the unabridged dictionary. If he wants to see photos, he Googles them. Scribbs also offers resources he can use. His parents, Bernard and Jacqueline, have also helped him. They are excited and a little bit nervous for Janard. Janard feels the same way, kind of excited and nervous. He added that it will be a good experience to have other spellers to compete against him. Jalen said, it always has been Janard's dream to win the Regional B and go on to the National B. Janard said he got interested in spelling when they had a school spelling bee in first grade. When I started spelling, I thought I could get the hang of it, and I did, he said. There are several activities taking place around the bee, such as a Memorial Day picnic, games, and chances to mingle. Janard said he has gotten a lot of support from his parents and his coach, Rhonda Haley. He also wanted to give a shout-out to Odessa Christian School and Ector County ISD, which made the bee possible. Sivakumar previously went to the National Bee in fifth grade. I've been studying basic language patterns. I've been doing all the Scribbs National Spelling Bee list, and I've been studying root words, Sivakumar said. She's been studying 2 to 3 hours during the week and 4 to 6 hours on weekend. I don't think people realize that. Even though I study that much, I still do have a little bit of free time, Siva Kumar said. She will be traveling with her dad. I'm just excited to go back to Washington, D.C. I really like how it looks there and all the places to eat, Siva Kumar said. She added that she's looking forward to getting up on stage to spell. I've enjoyed learning about all the different things. I've learned about hard work. I've also learned a lot about root words that will help me in my future, Siva Kumar said. Her favorite subject in school is math, and she's interested in going into the medical field. Ion Plus is the streaming home for live coverage of every round of the B, including the preliminaries, quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. Coverage runs May 28th through 30th. Ion Plus is available on leading streaming platforms nationwide. Three killed in recent crashes. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, three Permian Basin men have died in recent days in separate collisions. A 27-year-old man from Odessa was killed in an early Sunday morning crash in Midland County. According to DPS, a 31-year-old Andrews woman was traveling west on County Road 173 in a Buick Lucerne when she failed to navigate a turn approaching the intersection of County Road 1210, causing the Buick to leave the roadway. The car rolled several times, hit a utility pole, and erupted into flames. The driver was taken to Midland Memorial Hospital with minor injuries, but her passenger, Dylan Marcus Belashim, was thrown from the vehicle and died at the scene. The crash remains under investigation. On Friday night, an Andrews man was killed in Martin County in a two-vehicle crash. According to DPS, Luis Valdez, 25, was driving east in the westbound lanes of State Highway 176 in his Mercedes C43 when he hit a tractor trailer head-on. Valdez was pronounced dead at the scene, and the other driver, a 39-year-old man from Gardendale, was not injured. The crash remains under investigation. DPS also reported the death of a 68-year-old Midland man Wednesday night. According to DPS, James Dean Daniel, 68, was driving a Ford 150 when he failed to yield at County Road 101 and State Highway 302 and was struck by a tractor trailer traveling west on State Highway 302. Daniels was pronounced dead at the scene. The other driver, a 46-year-old man from Laredo, was taken to Winkler County Hospital in Kermit with minor injuries. This crash, too, remains under investigation. Volunteering together to build friendships and strengthen bonds. Family features. Volunteering has always been a big part of Shelley Bronson's life, whether she was serving her children's school or in their Fairfax, Virginia community. When Bronson retired, increasing her volunteer efforts was a natural next step. Serving with Volunteer Fairfax and AmeriCorps Seniors RSVP program, she spends about 10 hours a week teaching new volunteers about helping older adult age in place, providing food for those in need, and extending the capacity of local nonprofits. There's so much love about volunteering, Brosnan said. Providing purpose and serving the community are obvious reasons, but the connections I made with others are one of the greatest benefits. I just really love helping people, and I've made friends through volunteering. Brosnan's experience with volunteering is backed up by science. According to the Mayo Clinic, having a solid social network improves both physical and mental health, as it can boost happiness, increase your sense of belonging, and improve self-confidence. As people age, many social avenues from earlier phases of life, such as work and school, no longer exist, and making friends can be difficult. The Mayo Clinic suggests volunteering as a beneficial way to make friends and improve social well-being. Volunteering fosters more connected and less isolated older adults, said Atalia Sergi, director of AmeriCorps Seniors. Our research focused on the impact of our programs. Finding volunteers can provide positive health and well-being outcomes. In our study, 84% of participants reported stable or improving health, and 88% had lower feelings of isolation within 1 year of volunteering. Each year, we match more than 143,000 Americans with volunteer opportunities, helping build connections and address societal issues, nurturing real relationships that help people become more happier and more fulfilled. Adults age 55 and up, like Brosnan, can be matched with local volunteer organizations fitting their interests, skills, and availability through AmeriCorps Seniors, the nation's largest national service program for older adults, which offers three signature programs: RSVP, the Foster Grandparent Program, and Senior Companion Program. Brosnan, an RSVP volunteer, and others nationwide play crucial roles in community resilience and connectedness. The time commitment for all programs is flexible, ranging from a few hours to 40 hours per week. Research studies like the Harvard University study of adult development found that older adults who invest in, care for, and develop the next generation are three times as likely to be happy as those who did not. Foster grandparent volunteers Francois Moabi and Jerome Mayo, based in Kentwood, Michigan, are two more examples of the difference it can make to serve. Moabi and Mayo attest to the joy of impacting youth by passing on their wisdom and sharing their culture and language with students, many of whom are refugees from different parts of Africa, just as Moabi and Mayo themselves were several years ago. The two volunteers are so popular among the students and staff that teachers had to work out a schedule for all their students to be able to spend time with them. One of the reasons the program has such a positive impact is the intergenerational connections it helps establish. Benefits abound not only for the young, but particularly for the volunteers. "We love being here because of the environment and the students who study here," Mayo said. "The teachers like us. We help students to speak my language. I enjoy it, and they enjoy it too."
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.